topic for today's shiur is the concept in Hilchos Brachos called Ikar V'Tafel. So we learned this already last year or 2 years ago. It's a Mishnah in the sixth parak of Brachos that discusses when you have two foods, one is the main food and one is the secondary food, the enhancer, so to speak. So the Mishnah says you make a bracha on the Ikar and that covers the Tafel. So in terms of bringing this into the realm of Lamdas, there's a Chakira. And Chakira, again, is two ways of understanding the Halacha. How do we understand Ikar V'Tafel? I'm going to speak out the two. There's two basic sides. A lot of Sfarim, I have Sfarim and photocopies all over around my desk of different ways of defining it and explaining it. But I just want to speak out the two main ideas and see how that affects the halacha. The two main ideas are the following. First way of looking at the concept of Ikar V'Tafel is, I make a bracha on the Ikar, on the main thing, and the Tafel, since it's secondary, it doesn't require a bracha. That's one way of looking at it. Okay? One way is, again, I made a bracha on the Ikar, and the Tafel doesn't require bracha because that's what it means to be Tafel. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That's the halacha. A secondary food, you don't need to make a bracha on. The other way to look at it is no, you do need to make a bracha on it. But since it's secondary to the food, it gets lumped along with whatever the food is. So, how do we explain this? Let's take our classic example of noodles and cheese. Okay? It's a classic case of Ikar V'Tafel. You have your noodles and cheese. So, do we say that you make a mezonos on the noodles, and then the cheese, since it's only coming to enhance the noodles, you don't have to make a bracha on it, because it's not a food, it's an enhancer. That's one way of looking at it. The second way of looking at it is, no, you're making a bracha on the cheese. The only thing is, what bracha are you making? If you would eat a slice of cheese on its own, you'd make a shahakol. But since you're eating it together with the noodles, when you make the mezonos on the noodles, it covers the cheese also. So essentially the bracha on the cheese became mezonos in this case because it was really secondary to the, it was enhancing, it was just helping out the noodles. Those are the two basic, on a basic level, those are the two ways of looking at it. Do we say that it no longer requires a bracha, or it requires a bracha, but it's covered by the bracha that we make on the Ikar? Now I'm gonna just share with you four interesting shilas that come up that, depending on how we understand the concept of Ikar V'Tafel, we'll be able to answer these questions, and then hopefully if we have time, we'll also try to speak out some of the Rishonim to try to see where they're holding in this chakira. Okay, so shaila number one, and I'm not going to get to the halachos of each shaila. I'm just going to discuss the shaila vis-a-vis our chakira. The first one is really the Ramah discusses this. That's actually in our source sheet. What happens in a case where you, for whatever reason, you need to eat the tafel first? Okay, in other words, normally, what would we say? So, noodles and cheese is not a good example for this. But let's say you're eating, you eat a piece of herring, or you eat a red pepper, and you love the taste of the red pepper, it's very hot, and you need something to calm your senses. So you take a slice of bread. Bread will absorb some of it. So you're eating the bread, and you're only eating the bread, or the cracker, or whatever it is, as a tafel to the red pepper. Okay, in such a case, you really have no interest in the bread, it's not satiating you, you're not looking for it to satiate you, your cracker, whatever it is, and it's only there to calm down the burning sensation. Now let's say for whatever reason, this is also probably not a good example, but you need to have the flavor in your mouth. Let's say it was, you needed to have some flavor in your mouth beforehand, whatever the situation was. So, now here's the issue. If you say that the tafel doesn't need a bracha, right? If the first way of saying is there's an ikar, there's a tafel, the tafel doesn't need a bracha. Well, if the tafel doesn't need a bracha, then maybe I could eat it beforehand anyway, without a bracha. On the other hand, if you say that the tafel needs a bracha, but the bracha is covered by the ikar, Well, if you didn't make a bracha on the ikar yet, then it didn't cover the tafel, and it needs a bracha, then you're going to have to make a bracha. Yeah? So we see, again, if you don't need to make a bracha on the tafel, and you're only eating it as a tafel, maybe you don't have to make a bracha on this food. If you're eating the bracha, if you're eating the food as the tafel, and we understand that the tafel does need a bracha, but it's covered by the ikar, well, then it's a problem, because you didn't yet make the bracha on the ikar, so you're gonna have to make a bracha. Now it's interesting. If you look at the Ramah, if you look at the bottom, the last source on the page is from the Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Yud Beis. So four lines from the bottom, right after the parentheses, it says Hadim Mevarchin al ha'ikar potar atfela, that which make a bracha on the ikar, on the main thing, and it exempts the tafel. That's when you're eating it together. Oh, sha'ochel ha'ikr t'chila, or you're eating the ikr first. Aval, but im ochel ha'tafel t'chila. Let's say you're eating the secondary first. Kigon sherotza lishtos, rotza lechol t'chila kedishu liyishda liba reikana. Okay, the Ramah gives an example. You don't like to drink whatever the drink is. Doesn't taste so good on an empty stomach. You need to put something into your stomach. So what do you put into your stomach? Some cookies, some crackers, whatever it is. But it's just there so that you're not on empty before you drink this drink. Oshochel garine gud gidonios, lemate kashtia, whatever it is. You eat these in advance, and that aids the drinking of the whatever the drink is. Mevarech al ha'ochel tchila. Says the Ramah, you have to make a bracha first. Afal pisha hu tafel l'shtia. Even though it's tafel, you still have to make a bracha. Ve'enu mevarech al ha'ochel shahakol. Hol v'hu tafel l'davar acher. That's from the Chumash Hadeshen, one of the Rishonim, the Ramah quotes. You make a bracha, but you only make a shahakol. Now, here too, just so we can understand, the Ramah's psak halacha is, if you end up eating a tafel before you ate the ikar, you do have to make a bracha. So let's say you ate a cookie, so that you could have something in your stomach before you drink the drink. Okay? Before you drink that cup of soda, you want to have something in your stomach. Otherwise, the acidic particles or the bubbles bother you, so you have to have something in your stomach. So you eat a cookie. Says the Ramah, you make a bracha, but you make a shahakol. Now, why do you make a shahakol? So now there's two ways to understand why you would make a shahakol. One is to say, again, two ways to look at it. Even within the psak of the Ramah, the fact that you're making a bracha beforehand doesn't conclusively prove which way we hold. Why? Because you could say the following. Listen to this. You have an ikar and a tafel. We said there's two ways to look at it. Either you don't make a bracha on the tafel, or you make a bracha, but the bracha that you make on the ikar is covered. Now this case is a problem because you have to make a bracha before. Because you're eating the tafel before. So what do you do? The Ramah says you make a shahakol. So let's try to understand. Why are you making a shahakol, not a mizonos? You're eating a cookie, you're eating a pretzel. Why are you making a shahakol? So there's two ways to look at it. Do we say, you're making a shahakol, you know why? Because really, you don't have to make a bracha on a tafel. You don't have to make a bracha on a tafel. So why is this different? Because we have another rule in the Gemara. Asur la'adam lehenos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. Person is not allowed to eat anything, get benefit in any way, without a bracha. Now, if that's true, so even though it doesn't require a bracha, but you said a bracha. In other words, it requires a bracha not because of the food itself, but because you're getting some benefit from it. So if you eat it before, you can never put something in your mouth without making a bracha. So even though it doesn't technically require a bracha, that is to say that it itself is not a mechayev of a bracha, but but to put a cookie in your mouth, eat it, and not make a bracha, that would be violating the prohibition of never making a bracha. And that would explain, by the way, why you would only make a shahakol. Because the only reason you're making a bracha is not because of the food itself. You're only making a bracha because there's a rule, you're never allowed to eat something and not make a bracha on it. So what bracha should you make? Shahakol. Because it's, again, we're not making a bracha on this food because it's a cookie. We're making a bracha because otherwise you can't eat. So we're going to give the most generic bracha. Perhaps that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, when something is tafel, The other way to look at it again is to say that tafel really does require a bracha, but it gets the bracha of whatever the ikar was. Here, you didn't make a bracha on the ikar yet. So what are you going to do? So here, you could say, why do you make a shahakol? So maybe you make a shahakol because once something becomes tafel, it loses its identity. In order for something to earn a bracha of mizonos or ha'etz or hadama, it has to have an identity. This is a cucumber. This is an apple. This is a cookie. But now, what is this? This is not a cucumber. It's not an apple. It's a tafel. A tafel is a generic food. On a generic food, you would make a shahakol. So, again, two ways of looking at ikur, the tour of tafel. Is it that you don't have to make a bracha in the first place, or you have to make a bracha, but it's covered by the ikur? The first nafkamina might be what happens if you don't eat the ikur before you eat the tafel. You have to eat the tafel first. So do you have to make a bracha or not? The Ramah said you have to make a shahakol. And even if you're going to make a shahakol, it could be that it's still dependent on this chakira. Another very interesting shaila that comes up, and I can tell you that this comes up. It happens in my house, unfortunately, too often. Let's say you have to take some medicine, and the medicine is really disgusting. Okay? Now, well, there's two pieces to this. The first piece is, let's say you have a pill to swallow, followed by, well, same piece. You have a pill to swallow or a disgusting liquid medicine. It really doesn't taste good. You don't make a bracha on it. A pill, you don't make a bracha. But it leaves such a bitter taste that right afterwards, you have to drink grape juice, or you have to drink orange juice, or you have to drink a cup of soda. So now, that cup of soda or that grape juice is tafel. Why? It's assisting your ability to take the medicine. What's the issue? You didn't make a bracha on the ikur. Normally, right? Normally, you have an ikur and a tafel. You make a bracha on the ikur, not on the tafel. But if the ikur, you didn't make a bracha on the ikur. So this is, medicine is a potential situation where you have an ikur, you have a tafel, but there's no bracha on the ikur. Now you have to make a bracha on the tafel. Well, if, by definition, a tafel doesn't require a bracha, so then you wouldn't make a bracha on the grape juice either. You're only drinking it so that you could swallow the medicine. The medicine doesn't require bracha. The grape juice doesn't require bracha. Alternatively, no. The tafel requires a bracha. The bracha on the ikur paters, exempts the tafel, the bracha. What's the problem here? There's no bracha on the ikur. So of course you have to make a bracha on your grape juice. Okay? That again, in lumdus, would be a difference between the two ways of understanding. When you have a a medicine that you're not making a bracha on, do you have to make a bracha on the tafel, on the thing that's there just to help you swallow it or digest it? Okay? The same would be true sometimes there are medicines that you can't, this would be the double shaila. You can't, sometimes they say you can't eat this food unless you have something in your stomach. It's not good for your stomach unless you, right? So you're eating your cookies beforehand, and you're not going to make a bracha on the ikur. So it's a combination of the first two shailas. Okay, anyway, those are two shailas. Another interesting shaila that comes up is, what happens, this is a little bit of a weird case, but let's say you have a bracha, you have a tafel that requires you to make a shehechianu. Okay? A food that requires a shehechianu, it's now in season, you haven't eaten it in a long time, and you were going to make a shehechianu on this fruit. Today's a good day to talk about it because it's Tu B'Shvat. So you take your fruit that's supposed to serve, that's supposed to make a shehechianu, but for whatever reason, it ends up a tafel in your ikur v'tafel. So here too, the poskim say that it could depend on this chakira. If a tafel doesn't require a bracha, it can't require a shehechianu. Because by saying the tafel doesn't require a bracha, you're saying this is not a food that requires bracha. So you're not going to make a shehechianu either. But if it requires a bracha, just the bracha that you make on the ikur counts for the tafel, well, if that's true, then then the tafel was getting a bracha. You didn't make a bracha when you put the tafel in your mouth. You bet a bracha when you put the ikur in your mouth, but that covered the tafel also. It required a bracha. Just like it required a bracha, if it required a shehechianu, then you'd have to make the shehechianu as well. That's a third shaila. And a fourth shaila is, what happens in a case, let's say you eat an ikker and a tafel, but you eat more of the tafel than you did of the ikker, to the extent that you didn't eat enough of the tafel, of the ikker, to require a bracha achrona, but you ate enough of the tafel to require a bracha achrona. Okay? Let's say you ate two pieces of herring, and then you ate two slices of bread. I don't know, two pieces of herring. Well, you ate one piece of herring, and then it was so salty, or so greasy, oily, just a strong taste, that you kept on stuffing in the bread to calm down your right to calm down the taste. So you ate a kazayis of bread. So what do you do? Do you have to make a bracha achrona? B, do you have to bench? Very interesting shaila. So the truth is that this shaila is actually a tshuva in the Igros Moshe. Where Moshe Feinstein deals with this shaila. Is the title of the shaila is Achal Iker Pachos Mikazayis V'Tafel Kazayis. Yeah. Technically, yeah. Oh, do you have to wash, technically? I don't remember. Do you have to wash on the bread?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard for bread to really be a tafel. But if bread were actually a tafel, then if it was exclusively a tafel, in theory, it could be. It's usually not, because to choose to eat bread is filling, so you wouldn't really use it. Because bread is given a chashivas, which is why we are koveya suda on bread. That's why it's the mainstay of the meal. It's not something that you would normally eat to calm down your. You need like a bland taste. So why don't you take? Why don't you eat a steak? Why don't we eat a steak? That's not the type of food that you would eat. But a cracker or something like that, you would. So I don't know. But Ramosha talks about this. Ramosha actually makes a diuk from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Lashon of the Mishnah, that's the first source. The Mishnah says, Heviu lefan of maliach tchila upas imo. You bring somebody a salty food with bread. Mevarech ala maliach upoter es hapas. You make a bracha on the maliach and you pater the bread. Shapas tfeila lo. Because the bread is secondary. Zeha klau. And this is the rule. Kol shu ikar, v'imo tfeila. Mevarech al ha'ikar upoter es ha'tfeila. Moshe says the following diuk, and others say this as well. Mevarech al ha'ikar, you make a bracha on the ikar upoter, and it exempts the tfeila. Meaning the tfeila, the tafel, needs an exemption. It doesn't happen automatically. It needs an exemption. If the longest was that you don't have to make a bracha on the tafel, then it wouldn't need anything. But if you say that the lumdus is, that the bracha on the ikker covers the tafel, well, that's what the Mishnah sounds like. Mevarech al ikker upoter es hatfela. The bracha on the ikker paters the tafel. So that sounds like that side. Now the truth is lamaskana. By the way, Ramosha says you wouldn't bench. Ramosha says you'd make a bar nefashos in such a case, which is that's what he seems to say. He in this tshuva from 1974, Mar Cheshvan, Yud Tes Mar Cheshvan, Tufshin Lamed Hey, I think that's November 1974. Ramosha said that he had other reasons as well in the tshuva, but he discussed that, and he says definitely in this chakira that that's how we would understand it. Okay. So those are four shilas that we can come up with that would depend on our chakira. What happens if you eat the tafel first? What happens if you're eating something that you've never made a bracha on the ikar, like, for example, medicine? What happens in a case where the tafel requires a shachianu? Do we say that since it's not shaykh to make a bracha on it, you wouldn't make a shachianu? Or do we say, no, it was shaykh to make a bracha on it, you needed a bracha, you just made the bracha on the ikar, and therefore it also requires a shachianu? And the last case was Rav Moshe's tshuva, where he discusses making a bracha achrona. If you didn't eat a shir, you wouldn't have been chayev to make a bracha achrona based on the ikar. Only because you had the tafel with it, did you have to come to the shir kazayis. And then the question is, do you make a bracha achrona? And if so, if yes, what bracha achrona would you make? Okay. Now, I want to share an interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger, which is not on the source sheet. And then we'll see if we can if we can even get to speak out some of the Rishonim about where they hold in this Chakira. The Mishnah says in the first source, Hiviu lefan of maliach tchila upasimo. You bring somebody salty fish and salty food and bread with it, mevarach maliach uporta sapas. As we said, you make a bracha on the maliach and that covers the bread. Shapas tfeilo, because the bread is secondary. Zeha klal, and the Mishnah says, it's a rule. Kol shehu ikar vimo tfeilo mevarach al ikar potar sa tfeilo. Anything that is ikar and has a tafel with it, make a bracha on the ikar and you exempt the tafel. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks Akasha. When the Gemara, a lot of times the Gemara will say something. We always talk about this. Why do we have to learn the Gemara? My ox is not goring your ox. The answer is, because we can apply the rules and the svara of the Gemara to what happens if my car drives into your car. Or, okay? In other words, the svaros that we have in the Gemara, even if the case is not exactly the same, but we can apply it. So the Mishnah said, if I have a salty food and I have bread that's there to calm it down, I make a bracha on the salty food, I don't have to make a bracha on the bread. Why, says the Mishnah? Because if you have an ikar and a tafel, the ikar covers the tafel. Why do you have to say that? Don't say the rule. I know the rule because you told me. If you eat something salty and you're eating bread, the salty food, the bracha on the salty food is going to cover the bread. So what do I need to then reiterate the rule? What did I learn from the rule? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Perush on the Mishnah. Efsher Lomar, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, Dinakat Kain de Lonema de Davka Maliach de Berchaso Shehakol de Shayach Gamkein Al HaPas. Remember, we learned the Mishnah on Al HaKol Mevarachim Shehakol. Anything you say, you can make a Shehakol. The Bartanura right there said even bread and wine. Technically, if you made a Shehakol on bread, you're Yotze, B'diavad. Right? Obviously, you should make a Motzi. But if you made a Shehakol, you're Yotze, B'diavad. We don't paskin like that. Because bread has a chashivas, we say that you need to make a hamotzi. However, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, if I made a shahakol on this, let's say it was herring, and I had a piece of bread with it. If I made a shahakol on the herring, b'di'eved, or in according to some poskim, according to the, at least some even some rishonim, if I made a shahakol on bread, I was yotze, right? So, if I didn't have the rule, I only had the case, what would I have thought? Efshel Omar did not get kain the lonema de davka maliach de berchaso shahakol de shayach gamkein alapas. Really, the bracha of shahakol is also relevant for bread. Because if I made a shahakol on bread, it also would have covered it. De im amar alapas shahakol yotza mishum hachi b'tafel nifter. I would have thought. What would I have thought from the case of the spicy of the salty food? I would have thought, anytime you have an ikar and a tafel, and the bracha of the tafel works, I don't have to make a new bracha. Even maybe if it's b'diavad. He goes on to say, and even according to the opinion that says that shahakol doesn't work for bread, that's only because bread is so chashuv. But guess what? When bread is a tafel, it's not so chashuv. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, maybe everybody would agree that this shahakol works. So, if I have the salty fish, and then I have the bread, I would think, why does that work? Because b'di'eved, the shahakol, helps for bread. But let's say I had noodles and cheese. If I make a mizonos on a slice of cheese, was I yotze my bracha? Absolutely not. If I pick up a piece of cheese and I make a mizonos, I have to make a new bracha. If I realize in time, I say baruch shem kavod ma'aseh olam. What? I made the wrong bracha. Whatever it is, but now I have to make a new shahakol. Okay. So if I only had the case of the salty fish, I would have thought that the only time ikar v'tafel works is if the second food has the same bracha as the ikar. Then it works. But if I have noodles and cheese, where if I make a mizonos on the noodles, that has nothing to do with a bracha on cheese, so then I would think that it doesn't work. Therefore, the Mishnah has to come to tell us, no, it does work. Zeha klal, this is the rule. Any ikar and any tafel, you make a bracha on the ikar, it covers the tafel. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says. Again, Kiva Eger asks, why do I need the Mishnah to sum up the rule? What am I learning from the rule? The Gemara sometimes asks this type of question. Zeha klal lamali, what do I need the rule for? I know the rule from the law. The law that you have a salty fish and you have bread. The answer is, if I only had that case, I would think that it only works if the bracha on the ikar is actually the type of bracha that would help for the tafel. Now that I have the rule, all that is out the window. How do you understand Rabbi Akiva Eger? So in the Hav Amina, in his question, if you only had the first case, I would have thought that the brachos have to connect. Why would they have to connect? It must be that they have to connect because the bracha on the ikar is covering the tafel. In other words, in the Hava Amina, Rabbi Akiva Eger's understanding that the bracha on the ikar is covering the tafel, and the kamash malon, the maskana, is no, zeha klal, any type can cover any type. Why? Well, now you could understand it in one of two ways. Either any type could cover any type because as the tafel, you become tafel to whatever bracha the ikar makes is going to work for you because you're tafel to it. So even though cheese is not normally mizonos, yeah, but when it's attached to the noodles, the mizonos on the noodles can cover the cheese. The other way to look at it is, no, the chiddush of ikar v'tafel is, tafel doesn't need the bracha at all. So it doesn't matter if it's the wrong bracha. So that's just, that Hakira can explain this for Rabbi Akiva Eger in understanding the Mishnah. What I wanted to do, I really wanted to do, we have like 3 minutes. Very quickly, I want to learn the Tosos, even if we don't get to speak it out. The Gemara says, the first source, in the middle of the source, the Gemara asks a question, Umi ikamidi dahavi maliach ikar upas tefela? Okay, I don't fully understand the Gemara's question, but the Gemara asks, you have the maliach, the salty food, can be ikar, and the pas can be tafel. The maliach here, it doesn't mean like you're eating herring. It means you're eating something salty. The Gemara is going to explain. Amar vacha, breder avavira, amar vashi, ba'ochle peros kinosar askinon. Peros kinosar was a very chashuv, a special fruit, and it was very sweet. So in order to eat the sweet, the Gemara explains, you had to eat then a salty dish to level off the sweet. And then you had to eat some bread. Okay, so says Tosos, the third source. Shaham maliach ikar shehu bala hashiv halev. The maliach is ikar because it's coming to revitalize your heart. Shenechlash, which became weak with name is sikos haperus, because of the sweetness of the fruit. So you ate all the salty fish, and now you need the bread to help you with the salt. Vahapashal achar of tafel. And the bread that you eat at the end is tafel, a secondary. Ve'eno ba elo b'shvil hamaliach. And the only reason you're eating that is because of the salty fish. Okay, again. You ate, really, the Gemara says, you ate, before you ate the salty food, you ate a really sweet fruit. Then you ate the salty food to calm down the sweet taste. And then you ate the bread to calm down the salt, the salty food. So, says Tosos, and what does the Gemara mean? That the salty food is the ikar, and the bread is the tafel. Tosos asks a question. What's Tosos' question? And why do you make a bracha on the tafel, on the salty food? That's also tafel. There's two tafels here. V'im Tomar asks Tosos, Peros havi ikar umaliach tafel v'livar chala peros v'lipater l'kulu. You should make a bar priya eitz on the peros ginosar, these fancy fruits, and then the salty food doesn't need a bracha, and the bread doesn't need a bracha. Then why did the Mishnah say that the bread needed a bracha? Tosos gives two answers. Answer number one, I'm just going to read the Tosos, and unfortunately we're not going to get to explain it. You ate the fruits already. You're done. You didn't realize it was going to have such an effect. Once you're done with those fruits, now you're like, oh boy, too sweet. I need something salty. I need something bitter to help me out. And then you eat that, and then you come to eat the bread. Inami b'shosha ocha peros ginosar lo haya shamadayim maliach upas d'lo hayodeh shichal shlibo machmas hamasikos. Okay? In other words, the first answer of Tosos is you ate the fruits. Could be according to Kivega, you ate them somewhere else, whatever it is. The second answer of Tosos is you didn't have the salty food and the bread in front of you at that time, and therefore you couldn't eat them. So therefore, when you sit to eat the salty food, that you have to make a bracha on, because that's what you're sitting down to eat now. And then the bread will come after that, is only considered tafel. And how you understand that is very, very connected to this hakira. But unfortunately, we didn't get to it. Have a wonderful day.